Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and we have a great show today, and we are live, and we have a few guests. We might have a few more guests once you hear the show. We have several people here. Okay, I'll tell you about, I do have another show on Thursday. It's with Randall Dark. He's a director, and we have Sam French and Gene Williams, all three of them, and it's about a brother's badge, and it's going to be a great show. This is a good film that they've done, and they're going to talk about screenwriting, and we're going to talk about writing and how hard this, you know, entire, no matter if you screenwrite, novels, do poetry, whatever you do, it's hard, and that's why, you know, we've been having different guests on lately, so we can discuss all forms of it. And I guess I should say that I do write screenplays and novels and in a lot of different genres, because sometimes I don't say that, but I love screenwriting the best, but I'm writing novels now, and I have written children's books in the past. And that's about me, because I always forget about me. All right, and let's see. Okay, now the World of Ink, Virginia Grenier, she is handling several people's PR, and the newer ones that she's handling are Judy Schneider and R. Shook and L.J. Sinclair. So you'll see things posted on a lot of our sites for them, and Virginia handles that. So you can always contact Virginia and for some marketing. And, okay, let me just see one more. Oh, yeah. Next Tuesday, I should say, so I don't forget, we have a special show with Sierra Knight. It's about dyslexia, and we have the headmaster of the school of Grace Point. And it's a fundraiser that she's doing, and Lady Amber asked me if I, you know, would be happy to do one, and I would, because it's a really good topic, and there's a lot of kids and adults that are dyslexic, so it's going to be a good show. That's it for that. Okay, now to come to today's show. Okay, for those of you that thought I have three guests, I have two guests. Actually, I just realized that, because Catherine Rhodes and Jennifer Stevens are one and the same, and she'll tell you about that. And then we have Isabel Cape, who we have so many times on the show, and we love having her on. And so she brought us Catherine and Jennifer, so you'll meet them. Okay, I know. And, I mean, you know, writing is different people. That gives you a lot of names and a lot of leeway. So I'm going to have Catherine or Jennifer, whoever wants to talk a little bit about what she does and how she came up with this. And I didn't even know there was one person until I asked her just now while I was searching all her things. I happened to be Facebooking both of them. So what can I say about me that you already don't know after all my 6 years of shows? All right. Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
It's so nice to have you on the show. Okay. Tell everybody who you are and what you've done in the past, and then we'll have Isabel come on.
Okay. I write as Catherine Rhodes. That's my more well-known pen name. It's mostly erotic romance. Erotica, paranormal erotic romance. If it's dirty, it's Catherine. And I also write under under my maiden name, which is J. Rose Alexander, Jennifer Stevens, and that's kind of out there for everybody to know that. All of my high school buddies know I write under that name. And that's just about everything else. If it's not dirty, it goes under J. Rose Alexander. So I write, superheroes, paranormal, urban fantasy, slipstream, sci-fi, whatever I feel like under that pen name. Catherine is definitely the more well-known of the two.
Okay, so now I know a few of you. Okay, there we go. Okay, I know. What did I say? Thank God for Facebook, right? You know, I'm just on there, and I'm thinking, by today, because I have been looking you up all weekend, by today I was thinking, oh, no, I have to ask Isabel what is going on here. Because I just kept looking at everything, and I kept going back and forth, and then I looked on the about, and then Catherine's name is there, so now I got it. Okay, I won't forget that. Okay, Isabel, tell everybody about you, because you've been on several times, and you've got a lot going on, and you do multi-genre, so it's all yours now. Isabel?
Oh, hello. Hi.
Oh, hi. Okay. Hi. Are you sleeping already? I'm thinking, like, am I boring?
No. Hi, everyone. It's Isabel here from Manchester. I write paranormal and contemporary romance. And I also use Isabel Kate as my pen name for my historical romance. My historical fiction. So there you have it.
Okay, there you go. And where are you living? You're not. That's why your time is different.
Yes, it's almost 9:30 in the evening here. I'm in Manchester, England. I don't know how long it's going to be.
You're going to be tired. I know. Okay. All right. So let's talk about a few things. You know. Isabel, you asked me about it. So you have something new coming out. So you want to talk about that so we can start there.
Me?
Don't you have something new coming out?
Yes. I'm coming out with, May, I came out already with the third book of my contemporary romance series, and that's They Call of Me. And this coming August, I'm really hoping, and Jennifer is helping me with this, that I am going to come out with book 6 of the paranormal romance, which is Midnight's Paradox. So it's about the vampire-werewolf hybrid, and they're called the Sintrors. And so it's a story about good versus evil, but it's quite climactic in this book. So, yeah. So that's the one that's coming out, Midnight's Paradox.
Okay. Because you have a lot of genres, and you've been on, you know, talking about it a lot, but that's, you know, but this is a different series that you have. Jennifer, or Kathy, now I'm calling you both. Okay, so Kathy.
That's okay.
You'll answer to both. I know that. Okay. Okay, so what's... You have a lot going on in different genres, and so what's coming out new that they might want to know about, and then we'll go on.
Under Catherine, let me deal with Catherine first.
Okay.
The conclusion of a duology is coming up. The second book in the series is coming up. The original was called Thought, and it takes place in Club Imperial, and if anybody knows Club Imperial, it's run by Fong Zorn, and it's about all of the employees there. And we started out with Emmy, and now we've moved on to Cece, and Cece is the main character along with Killian and Paul and Everett in Knot, and now we're going to find out in Untied what happens with Cece and Killian and Everett and Paul.
So are these full-length books, or they're shorts, or they're stories, right?
No, they're full-length.
They're full-length.
Okay.
So when you're doing this full length, when you say, you know, so what, when you're, it's a series, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so
a series.
How do you, I mean, I know people ask this a lot. So how do you know when to, you know, maybe stop making the short stories, because, you know, and then make it into a book? Because I think a lot of people, what I've seen, and I've been looking at Facebook, and I know this for a fact myself also, is that people write short stories, and they say they're short stories, and I've written short stories, and the problem is then someone will give a review and go, this is like a short story, and like, they want more, but that's good that they want more, but it is a short story. So don't give them a negative on the thing, because you've already known that it was a short story. So, I mean, what do you think about the short story market? I mean, it's a huge market. So why is it that a lot of the reviewers are saying this to people? Because I've seen this on Facebook a lot lately.
I have as well. They want more of the story, more of the story. The positive to short stories and novellas and novelettes is that it doesn't take an author quite as long to write a novella. I mean, a 35,000-word novella, you know, was that 60 pages? I can do that in 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
And then another 3 or 4 weeks, it's on the market. Whereas the novels take much longer. I mean, the fastest I've ever written a book was 10 weeks, and that was 110. That was a huge book.
That's a lot. That's a short time for that amount.
Yeah, and it still needed to be edited and cleaned up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you end up with a six month turnaround. And I think that in some ways novellas kind of keep people's appetite whetted for the longer stories. I mean, certainly I don't use my main characters in the novellas. All of the novellas that belong to Club Imperial are about side characters or backstories to certain characters.
That's a good way. That's a good thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, because so then they're different, but it's got the same premise, but they're side characters.
It's all in the same world, and they're side characters, and you might meet them along the way. You know,
yes, I hope reviewers, you know, because I do think that's a big problem. And, you know, if they don't like reviewing short stories, then they shouldn't review them. That would be better if they just don't, you know. And Isabel, what about you? How do you feel about that?
Well, for me, short stories are like about 18,000 words. A novella is like what Jen said is 35,000, and you know when you put it out, like let's say on Amazon or Smashwords or what have you, it already says that it's a short story.
Yeah.
So for reviewers to complain or to give a negative review for a short story when it's already there that it says that it's a short story, I mean.
Yeah.
It's an oxymoron, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's,
you know,
I
never really,
say,
you know, years ago I never wrote short stories, but then I started writing them. And, you know, I think that people think that when someone writes a short story, it's not that hard. That's not true, though, because, you know, it's almost like a screenplay. You have to, you have to get... In a short amount of time, you have to make the people understand the reader understand what
and
you're trying to do.
And also, you have to have all of the elements that are in a novel.
Yes, right.
Into a very short, you know, few pages, and that's quite difficult, you know, to try to compress it and then for them to really understand what it's all about.
Right, because I think that that's why I wanted to, Yeah, that's why I wanted to address it today, because I just see this a lot, and I've seen it in my own work when they just go, you know, and I've known people that have written short stories, and then when somebody gives them a review like that, some of them have stopped writing, and that's bad. If they ask for more, that means they enjoyed your writing. But some people take it the wrong way, and when they say it's too short. But I think that... My thing would be just don't, if you don't want to review short stories, don't, you know, and that's the end of it. So then you don't have the problem of somebody saying, oh, it's short. But I think everybody that, if you look at the pages, you know, because most people probably do, you know, if you get it on Amazon or Smashwords, it tells you exactly how many pages it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like
not
a shock.
That, but a lot of authors will actually get a warning or label or title tell you that this is not a full-length novel.
Yes.
You know, I myself, the short stories that go with Club Imperial are all called a Club Imperial novella. They're not titled as the full-length book. Because
yeah,
I don't want people to think that this is another full-length story. It's not. You know,
right, but a novella can be 60 to 90 pages or something, but a short story, a lot of them are 25 or to 35 pages. Maybe that's about a limit to that, you know. So I don't know what the answer is. I just wondered what you thought, because I just think that, you know, with reviews, I'm having a show with Jack Remick, who's been on before, and he has Jack and Bob's blog, and he's a wonderful writer. And he's been doing this for years, but he comes on and he talks about different subjects. But the review is a big subject, you know, because it can make or break you. And I think people that are reviewing, you know, some of them, they're, it's not like it was where people were reviewers. Everybody's reviewing now.
Yes, and I think also, Marcia, that what we as writers and all those who love the written word have to be careful about is that, like what you said, everybody is able to review, and there are two kinds of reviewers. One are real reviewers, and the other are trolls.
Yeah.
So if I can use it, if I can say that it's like a phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, in the literary world, because you have these people who just want to review and, you know, trash a good story for the sake of doing so.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, and Amazon,
and
you know, they're trying to figure out things.
Professional reviews.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to figure things out at Amazon because they've kicked a lot of people off, I've heard, you know. But they've kicked people off that probably shouldn't be off. The ones they've kicked off are people that actually review.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I don't know why, because I know several people that really do review, and so they just go other places.
Their statement is that you know the author personally, because, and that's what their justification for removing you. I mean, if somebody likes my novels, I may never, ever talk to them. I mean, I enjoy Stephen King. I've never spoken to him.
Right, exactly.
So you're going to remove my reviews.
I know.
On his
See, that's what's not fair. Right, because actually, in this world, when somebody is a friend of yours, you know, there are friends on Facebook, and you've met them, and you don't even know sometimes if you were sitting next to them who they are, you know. But and I think that's one of the things, like you're saying, is true, because you're reading. I mean, how can someone tell how good of a friend you are with them? Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's that's what's the bad thing. You know, because I got one
in the community. Yeah, in the community, I mean, everybody's going to get to know everybody or anybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Because, you know, we're so close-knit, it is inevitable that you're going to know that person. And if you read that person's book, even if you don't really, you're not really a friend, it's just, you're just an acquaintance, you get penalized for it. You know?
Well, I think, the erotic series, erotic books, they're, you know, I think they're pretty kind to each other. It seems to me that everybody, we're in the same kind of boat, you know, and they write the story and that's it, you know, but they're willing to share a lot and help out.
I think the other problem is that there's a fundamental misunderstanding somewhere in the ranks at Amazon that writers, authors are also readers.
I know.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I fangirl over Isabel Sinclair's. I love her series. I love reading it. I've probably read it 5 times by now. I love it.
Aww.
But because I know her, I can't review her.
Yeah.
But I am a reader. I am essentially, I have a degree in literature. You know, that's where I'm coming from. How can you tell me that I can't review something that has brought me into the author's world?
Yeah, I don't review at all because I am a literary agent. I don't, you know, I still have my Marcus Bryant Associates, but I've never reviewed people because of that. But I, and there'd be
and
me.
That's
like something I can't do. But I always say that, you know. But I do think that you're right about that because, you know, you got to know Isabel probably from her writing. Like, I'm knowing people. Like, I had a show, Isabel, you were on the show. I had a show when we had a lot of different people from different genres come on and were talking about their books. It was a very, all it was a PR show. And then I got a message from somebody later. They were really upset with me, and I felt bad, and I offered her to come on a show, but then she didn't want anymore to come on. But I offered her because she said that I was favoring my friends. And I said, these are all my friends. They've been on my shows. I know them, but I don't know what she meant by that. Right, I just didn't know her then. Do you know what I mean? And so that's a very, the word friend, you know, it's not like friends I go to lunch with, but I know people like Isabel, she's been on my show, and Gina, and all these people. So I am interested in them, and they come on the shows. But the woman was very upset with me because I was showing favoritism. I didn't know her, but I said, you can come on another show. This is fine. You can talk about whatever you want.
I didn't know Catherine before I read her books, and I was bowled over by her. And then when I started to get to know her on Facebook, like I was like, you know, I was asking her when's the next book? You know, especially Consensual and Broken Bonds. I love that. I really loved that, those books. And she
that's the thing, and that's what's so important about this is because the writing community is huge.
Yes.
I mean, it is. There's a lot of people writing.
You know, we try to help each other, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
so. We try to do that.
And that's what we do on, that's what I do on the show. Because, you know, if somebody wants to come on that's been on before, if they do, all they have to do is email me. And I go, fine, come on, you know. But, and I'll put a little group together or not, you know, whatever. But I think that that's one of the things that Amazon maybe wasn't, you know, isn't used to that because people have, when you do like an author, you do read their books, whether you are friends with them on Facebook or not, but you might have read all their books, and they may have 20 books. So that doesn't mean that your review shouldn't be there.
That's
right.
True,
that's
And you become friends with the author after sometimes, isn't it? After
I think
you've read their books already, that's the reason why you become friends, because you want to know more about what's going to happen to, you know, to the story.
Right.
So.
And I think that, so I think that's one of the things that probably should change. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that should change because I think, you know, it's a changing world and, you know, I don't know, the paperback, I don't know, how do you feel about the paperbacks? You know, I think for me, like when I go out, I'll sell paperbacks, but I think it's more difficult for me to sell them online. Catherine, what do you think?
I don't think I've ever sold a paperback online. I think all of mine have been in person.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
There are a few people who have bought my paperbacks, absolutely.
Yeah.
People who are, how should I put this, staunchly anti-ebook.
Yeah, I don't know why people are there. I know, they get crazy. I know that. Believe me, I know that.
When your house is threatening to fall down around you because you have so many books in it, it's time to consider an e-reader.
But that's why a lot of people go, like, I'm not going to be on Facebook. I mean, like, okay, you don't have to be on Facebook. And I said to people, I said, I am on Facebook. But I am on Facebook. I meet new authors. I have people on my shows. I share that. And that's what I'm on Facebook for. I don't go, I'm not on Facebook where I'm talking about every single thing I do in my life. You know, so I think people, sometimes they're just easier to say like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, or like, I won't read an e-book.
Yeah.
You know, and that is what they say.
That, yeah, absolutely. But the paperbacks to me are very important because growing up, that was what I had. I have, I don't even know, 1,500, 1,700 books in my house. I've lost count. I don't even know.
Wow.
Are you
able to live there? Do you have room for you? I mean, I have all those books.
Believe it or not, those bookshelves hold a lot.
Yeah, they do.
But it was important to me to have the paperback very, very real for me. Even though I have something like 60,000 copies of my book out there, having that paperback in my hands was what finally made it real.
Right,
you know,
for you as an author,
And I think there are still people who would prefer paperback. Even though they read in ink, they read e-readers. There's people who just prefer, you know, a paperback. And certainly, there's also the factor of pricing of e-book, traditionally published e-book versus indie e-book. Example, I wanted to read Blood Kiss by J.R. Ward, and I looked online for the e-book because, you know, 1,700 books in my house. And I went and looked at it, and it was $11.99.
I know.
$12.99. Something like
I know.
That.
That's insane.
I walked into Barnes & Noble. It was $7.99 for a paperback. I'm like, well, okay. I guess it's paperback then.
You're not going to be spending no $15. That's the trouble with the children's books, because they are expensive on Amazon. You know why they don't sell as well. You know, and I think the parents are just keep buying the same books for the kids because they don't want to spend the money if they don't know if the author is going to be good or not, which is so unfair to the children's market. It's a toughie. That's a tough one.
The children's books, especially, I mean, whether they're e-reader or paperback, children's books, especially when you're talking about young readers with lots of pictures in them and their colors, they're expensive. They are expensive.
They are very expensive.
And it's unreasonable in most cases.
Because they need a lot of books, and you're not. I mean, you know, it's not like they're going to read one book. I mean, you need a lot of books, and you're buying them books. And the other thing is, like, I thought it was a good idea to do the audiobooks. So the audiobooks got taken really fast, but they don't sell real as good as it should because the parents don't want that. But I think as an author, when I heard my own books, my children's, every word meant so much more. And I think if the kid looks at the books and then the child listens to it, it's a really good learning tool. But to get parents to believe that, they don't, you know, and that's, you know, I think that they should think about that because we've had a lot of children's authors and a lot of associated with World of Ink over the last 6 years, and it's a lot of them have just left, and that's really sad because they're really good writers and their books were cute. It's just they weren't selling, you know, and that's the whole problem with that market. That's a tough one.
I have an idea for a children's book in my head. And it's just like, why even try?
I know. But that's bad in a way because, you know, probably the children will love that, you know. And that's what's sad about this, you know. I mean, and I think I had somebody on the show once. They said, you know, people are spending so much money when they go get a cup of coffee and they want your book to be, like, cheaper than 99 cents. I mean, that's, you know. And when you really think about it, that's the truth. They don't want to spend money on books. They like them when they're free, but they'll go have coffee and spend $6 for a coffee.
And
not for a book.
I always remind myself. I just bought a $4.50 Starbucks the other day. I could spend a $3.99 on this book. And that's my complete attitude towards it. I bought a $4.50 coffee. I can pay the $3.99.
Yeah.
You know.
See, I just have regular quote, but I just love Starbucks. I do. Usually my characters are somewhere there in a Starbucks. I just love Starbucks. But I just have the plain, you know, I just have regular coffee. But, you know, but I always think about that because when that person said that, it made a lot of sense because, you know, I'm sitting here thinking like, should I maybe make my book, you know, 99 cents? Should I give it free? And then I've had other people on the show and said like, you know what? It takes time and it's hard to do a book and we have to give it free and then people write a bad review. And that's the end of that. So I think there's so many things out there that I think that the author, I try to get readers on the shows, but they don't want to come. They really don't. There's a couple that have come on, but very few. Most of the shows are authors or screenwriters, but readers, they don't want to talk about how they feel about it.
When a friend, an author friend gets a book bub and they plan on offering their book for free, I tell them, you will get a lot of reviews, and a lot of them are going to suck. Just prepare yourself for it, because there's going to be some really harsh, rude reviews. There's going to be spoilers written in. you know, the fine art of the review is kind of missing in some cases, because some reviewers don't seem to understand that it's a review, it's not a book report, you know.
Right. Right.
They just rehash basically your blurb and then give it. And it's like, you know, I actually, you've given it 3 stars. Could you tell me why? What was it? Give me something. I look for constructive criticism. I read my 1 of my 2-star reviews because I want constructive criticism. Where did I mess up? What didn't entertain you? What could have made this, you know, what are you looking for in a book? Is it that we're a mismatch as a reader and an author? Or did I actually make my mark with you in this book? So, you know.
Yeah, right. Or did they just take it because it's free and then they just felt like, oh, they'll look at it and it might not even be a genre they want to read? You know, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, when it's free, people go like, oh, fine, I'll just take it. You know.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, though, you know, to know why, you know, because I, over the years, I've been doing this for over 20 years, so, I mean, I've had a lot of rejections on my screenplays. I mean, I can handle it. So somebody asked me, is it all right? And I go, tell me what you think. I don't care. You know, I mean, at this point, I mean, I'd rather hear what is wrong. And it might be something I thought might be wrong, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, but... For some people, if they're going to give, this is one I've told this story many times before, but I will tell it again. I wrote a book, and it's still out there. It's called To Life. It's a Holocaust survivors book, and it's a story told by Ciela Lewis, who was the survivor, and I wrote the book. She did not write the book. I wrote the book, but I wrote it exactly as how she told it to me, and everything was true. And it was her story.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody gives me a bad review, not that bad, but I mean it was like a 3-star. And they said, well, you know, this writer, she wrote, she didn't write the full story, and she maybe should have changed. She's giving me advice on what I should have changed and what the character should have done. Okay, and I'm thinking like, I can't make the person. This is real life. You know, if they didn't like what the character did, there's nothing I can do about that. That was the character.
Right,
that's the woman. That it's her story. But they're, you know, they're not even realizing this is a real story. And I'm thinking, oh my God, they're talking about it like I could have changed her life. I mean, I can't, you know. And so I think people have to be aware that people that are reading books sometimes don't pay attention, even if they're fiction or nonfiction. They're giving you advice.
Yes. Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these are the things that people really, you know, and I feel, you know, and I always feel bad for people because I really know that, you know, that's why it's good we're talking about this, because there's a lot of people that don't get a good review and they really are upset, and I always feel bad about that.
Yeah.
You know, for
them. I guess that also comes from my years of rejection, too, because for years I tried to get traditionally published. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm somewhere up around Stephen King territory here. 200 rejections.
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore.
I got a lot of them. I can. You save them. I save them. You know.
Yeah,
because
that's
how it is.
Exactly. And you have to be willing to accept rejection and criticism.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I had
a fellow author read something of mine, and she came back and said, "So, what do you want me to tell you about this story?" I'm like, structure, overall impression. Did you enjoy it? What did I do better?
Yeah.
Be critical of. She came back. She gave me she gave me exactly what I was looking for, what kind of criticism I was looking for. And the whole structure of the first half of that book changed completely. I changed how the characters were introduced. I changed how I walked you into the story. And that, in turn, help me develop the rest of the characters and the rest of the story to a much greater degree. I want criticism. I want constructive criticism, you know. Please don't 1-star me because it was a cliffhanger. You know, okay, I get
it. Right. I've learned that now because you have to write that and they're like, more to come, you know. I'm thinking like, oh my God, they hate me, you know, for this.
Yeah.
And you know, but I think that you know, it is important to hear all these things, you know. And I changed my love changes. I did change my ending. I wrote it in a screenplay, and then I wrote it as a book. And as a screenplay, it was very different in a lot of ways. But the ending, I just it wasn't as happy as it could have been. I felt it was kind of a good way to end it because some things don't always end happy, but you learn from it. But apparently, since I changed the ending, people seem to like it now a lot, and it's selling now more than it ever did because the ending is a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people love that, but sometimes in life it doesn't always work that way.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, it's like, you know, with the cliffhanger, it's like this is the way I tell my story. A lot of my books have cliffhangers in them. Please give me a chance to tell you the rest of the story.
Right.
There is more here. This is not.
I can't do cliffhangers. I have a hard time doing cliffhangers. That's why my hat's off to Catherine for doing cliffhangers because she does it very, very well.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's like it's a good thing to do because, you know, a lot of times sometimes you know exactly where to end it because then you want people to come back. You know, that's the point. If you tell them everything and then there's nothing more to write in the series next time because you told them everything. But now, you know, as we all know as writers, you sit down and sometimes you didn't even know it was going to happen.
Oh,
and it just happened.
That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me
right.
with one of my characters. It's like, oh, no, what? What happened?
And who did that, Jennifer or Catherine? Which one of you?
Catherine.
Oh, all right.
Catherine surprised her. I was like, oh, crap, what's going on? What's going on? And I kept writing, and I was surprised to find out what had happened. But it worked for the story. You know, that's
But don't you like that when that happens? I love that. I go, oh, my God. You know, and I'm telling my husband something, and I'm telling him, you know, look, I just got it because they – and he's looking at me like, really off the wall, but it is the best feeling because that you got to the place you needed to go, but you don't know that you got there till you get there, you know. And it's like,
yep.
Oh my God,
yep.
I'm here.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you don't
exactly.
know. I know. Isabel, I know how you write, you know, but when you're, do you always know everything? I mean, I don't write by an outline. Probably I should, but I don't. I just can't.
Me?
I try, but
no,
it doesn't work.
I don't have an outline. And it's pretty scary because I don't plot. So I think I have to because the stories are getting more and more complicated.
Yeah.
And they're going to be new characters into, like, especially my paranormal series.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole new world. You know, that I'm developing. But I'd like to go back about, what you were talking about in terms of paperbacks.
Yeah.
Here in the UK, I do know that, you know, in several of the signing events that I've been in, they normally buy paperbacks as a collector's item. So what they do is that paperbacks are quite valuable here as well. And then, especially those who have blogs, what they do is that they gift it as a giveaway, and because it's just like a paperback that has the signature of the author and it's quite rare, then you know it develops.
Well, that's good.
Something
that means
like,
they appreciate the author.
Yes,
they appreciate.
They appreciate
this is a good
it.
Thing.
I mean, apart from. I mean, they have. Say for example, they have my books on Kindle, but when they see me in author signings, they will still buy the same book in paperback.
Oh,
but
that's nice.
But they're not going to open it. They're going to, you know, they're going to make me sign it, but they're not going to open it, and then they're going to put it in their bookshelf.
That is the ultimate. I mean, that's like the ultimate goal. Is probably why Catherine, you have all those books because you. They're there and looking at you, you know, because they're not looking at you on an ebook, you know. But we all get the fact, and the price is that's why you would think that's one of the reasons the paperbacks don't sell as much because of the price. Because some of the prices are like $20, and people don't want to buy that. But it's you know it is nice when they do buy the paperback to keep.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
most people just don't throw out a book. They give it to somebody else.
I think in the authors, paperbacks are not that expensive, I think. Or are
well,
they?
Right,
I'm
right,
not
yeah.
quite so sure.
Well, they're not. They're not. It depends. You can make as little or as much as you want on it. You know.
Right.
I prefer to sell more than to make more because I would like more people to read what I wrote. You know.
Yeah.
But. It is expensive, so that's why, you know,
right.
if they do, that's why I do sell more e-books. I don't sell as many paperbacks, and it's interesting,
right,
Catherine,
right.
that you said that, yeah, that you, out of all the books that you're selling, yeah, you don't, you know.
I only sell paperbacks during author signings as well.
Yeah, right, because then that's when you sell.
I mean, the ultimate goal, I think, for me is I want people to read. I don't necessarily
yeah.
need to be multimillionaire or Stephen
yeah.
King or Anne Rice.
Yeah.
I want them to read. I write
yeah.
to be read. You know, whether that's on ebook or paperback, take your choice.
Yeah.
I would rather make almost nothing on the book and have you read it
yeah.
than make, you know, $15 off it. And only have
right, because it's
it.
Always nice when you somebody says to you, you know, I really like that book, or when they start talking about your characters like they're real, because we feel that they're real when we're writing them. So it really, I mean, for me, when somebody starts talking about my characters, I love that, because I'm thinking they are people to me, you know, they are with me all the time. And I just, you know, I love that, you know, and I don't think probably readers understand how happy we are when somebody says to us, oh, they start talking, you know, about maybe she'll do this or that, or, gee, I love that scene, you know. I mean, and I think those are the things that make us happy. You know, yeah, it would be nice to, you know, make a lot of money, but it doesn't always happen with books. And I was listening to a tape on ACX about the Audibles, and they had a YouTube. And so they were talking about, you know, telling people, like, maybe how to do the Audibles, but – and the people that were very successful narrating, they were saying that they go on Amazon and look for sales, and then they that's how they contact people. But that's not necessarily a good thing for authors, because sometimes when people are listening to the Audibles, they love the books more than they would have sometimes if they read it themselves. You know.
Yeah.
So they're looking at sales, you know, but because when you have a children's book, 50 million people come in, they want to do the audio book because it's short, you know, and it's hard. It's not easy to do that, you know, because you have to have the breath for it, and you just got to keep doing it. But when they're saying that, it doesn't work as well. Sometimes they won't, if your book isn't selling that much, and it would be a good audio book with a good voice. They don't want to take you, you know. So that's kind of.
Yeah.
Do you have audiobooks, either of you? Yeah, you do. So how do you feel about them?
I like them.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I know a lot of friends who are very avid readers, and you're sitting in the can't read when you're sitting in a car. Although I have tried.
I get nauseous.
Too.
It's not happening for me. It's definitely not happening. I try.
And
I can't even look at my phone sometimes. And
it's so easy to just pop on an audio book. I mean,
I love it.
You could do it on the, you know, airplane. You know, you're sitting there. You got nothing better to do. Pop in an audio book. You know.
That's a good. Yeah, because it keeps your mind. Isabel, how do you feel about? Do you like the audio?
No, I don't have audio books, to be honest.
But do you listen
to
audio?
I would love to have my books on audio.
Yeah, you would.
I mean, I have a reader. Well, she her mom is the one who reads for her because she can't really see too well.
Yeah.
And she says that she's told me that, you know, if any of my books are placed on audiobooks, she was going to get them.
Well, you have books that you've done yourself. Are you published with all publishers, or do you have any of your own?
No, I'm already I'm indie published. I'm self-publishing now.
Oh, you are self-publishing now. Okay, so because you can't put yourself on, you can go into Audible and put your own book on, and somebody might pick it up.
Oh,
and it doesn't cost you anything.
Okay, I'm going to try that then.
Yeah, it doesn't cost you anything, because if you do a share, you can do the 50-50 share.
Oh,
Isabel, right. We just did Apathetic Avengers, which is a young adult novel, and it just came out about 3 weeks ago on audiobook. Aurora Zani and I did that one. We had a gentleman come forward almost immediately as soon as we put it up, and it took about 3 months for it to get done because of the back and forth. But yeah, it's out there now. Absolutely.
Yeah, so you could do that if you now, because a lot of the indie publishers, you know, the smaller indie publishers don't do it. But
you can do
for yourself. Yeah, go on ACX and you Audibles and you can sign up and you put your book in there.
Some they take
and some they don't.
Okie dokie.
You know, it would be nice if they
later tonight.
No, it really does work out, you know. And I think a lot of these books sound great. I mean, to me, I think they sound great. And but the problem is some of the big stars that do books, they're not really great doing audiobooks, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
have you heard that? Yeah, see, because sometimes I'm listening and I'm so disappointed. And I saw the movie, let's just say, and I'm listening to the book and I'm going like, oh, my God, this is horrible. I mean,
You have to have voice training to be a really good. You either have a natural talent or you have a voice training. I mean, certainly I wouldn't want to listen to a book read by Cameron Diaz. She doesn't have any voice training. But if you put someone like Glenn Close, who can sing on an audiobook, it's a totally different story because she knows the inflections, the way to breathe, all of that stuff.
Yeah, because it's all about the breathing. Yeah, it is about the breathing and that, because you notice that. And, you know, because I had someone that was really great, and she did one of the children's books, then she disappeared. I that's the problem. I think that Audibles has that issue that a lot of them, you know, they start it and then they don't finish. So that's an issue for Audibles. Yeah. And but then I found someone else to do the children's books, but, you know, and they said, you know, you don't really have much contact with them, you know, and I was really happy with them. But when it comes to doing adult books, you know, that takes more time. So they're not thrilled about doing it sometimes the 50-50 because they don't make any money until it's out there.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's, you know.
I'm laughing because one of the other things that just popped into my head was you can't read a book in iambic pentameter. You can't sit there and talk on the book like this because it doesn't really keep people interested in anything.
Yeah.
You have to read the book, and then you have to speak it. So.
Well, right, yeah, you know, right. But, I like it, though. I mean, I do, but, you know, and then if you do the Audibles, like I have the membership, but then if I had a lot of books at one time, and so now you can put it on hold so they don't keep sending you, you know, you have to keep paying for it if you can't finish listening to the others, you know. Because I really like it because I think it's good for authors to hear the way books are, because, you know, you know how much – everybody, well, you're going to know this, that a lot of people, you know, they go, oh, you don't have a period in the right place, you use the wrong word, you spelled it wrong, you're an idiot. They're criticizing everything. But in an audio book, it just goes great because you don't care if they don't have a comma. You know, they're not like, uh-oh. You know, so it's much more relaxing if you don't, because a lot of people, when they're reading books, they're looking for your mistakes. And that's, so I never like that. I never like that. Just read the book for the story, you know. Don't read it to tell me if there's a lot of mistakes. You know, I mean, if there's a lot, but I mean, you know, if there's not a comma or something, spell check didn't do something. Because I know even when I was, you know, reading people's scripts, what I did is I read it for their story. And then if they need editing, they can go to an editor. But I'm listening for the story if it's good.
Right.
Not for their mistakes.
Right.
You know, but I think that a lot of readers, I'm sure you all know this, there are so many people that go, you know, looking for mistakes. And that's really kind of sad. Enjoy the book. That's what we wrote it for you to enjoy it. Not to criticize every last thing. You know, and I think sometimes when, you know, it goes from publisher, you know, if you put it in and you load it, and it's not even that the author made the mistake. It's just sometimes with all this digital, it can happen. a sentence can get lost that you didn't even know was lost.
Yep.
You know, but people, we're all saying yep because we know this, right? Because this is how it is, you know. And I'm sure any book, the most popular book of any year, any time, there's something in it that's not exactly perfect.
Yeah, it's true.
But you love it for the story. You know, you want your readers to be happy with the story, so kind of relax. That's one of the things about audio is because you can relax, they can really hear every last word. And you're right, in the car it's really good. You know, and then, you know, it helps your writing too because you're listening to someone else, but instead of looking at it, you're hearing it and how they describe things. So I think it's a great tool. So what's on the agenda for everybody else? Okay, so let's see what's going on with Isabel. What's on your agenda coming up that you want to do that you haven't done so far?
For my book, I, like I said, there's one for, you know, book six. Book 6.5 is going to come out in December. And then I am also in an anthology with Catherine. And
Oh, that's great.
A BDSM short story or novella.
Now, when is that?
Jen, I think that's October, isn't it?
Maybe you're coming on my show. Is that a Halloween one or with Gina?
No. It's about.
Is that a Gina one though? Is that Gina?
BDSM.
Is it for Gina?
That's the club.
Is that with Gina or no? Somebody else? Oh, it's with the club.
Is that the club?
Yes, it's the club. Yes.
Yeah, I think you're actually September.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, you should contact me. I have a lot of shows, but I can always add a show if you guys want to come on to, you know, talk about the anthology. Yes.
Okay.
Now I have Gina coming on in October, I think, with an I think Gina's got an anthology, two coming up.
I thought it was over.
Do you know how fast the summer went? I don't know about you, but for me, it's like I cannot believe where the summer went.
I'll text you, Isabel. I'm pretty sure you're earlier. I think you're September.
Martha, I can't talk. I can't talk. I don't want to
So how many people are in that one?
That is a 30-book series. And it started way back in January of 2015, and it's running through June of next year. And
okay, so it's called The Dirty Book. Wait, say this. I'm going to write it down. Dirty Book.
It's called
Oh, it's not The
Dirty
Book. You're driving me crazy. I'm going to look for that. Me and my notes here. Okay. What's it called?
It's actually, the series
club.
Is actually called The Club.
Oh, The Club. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 30 books. And you can, if you just search on Facebook, that'll come
okay,
up.
I will. Okay.
There's a possibility that Catherine has two books in that series right now. So.
Okay.
Okay,
so that's a good thing. All right, I didn't know. Okay, so that's, But I think that Gina has something coming out in October, I think. She asked for October.
Mm-hmm.
But those shows are too, it's like 2 hours. It's like very long. I usually do an hour show because I like the hour better because I think it's hard for people for 2 hours, you know, to be listening. You know, I think, you know, an hour, you know, sometimes I go over a little, you know, but I think after an hour, people, I just go like, okay, enough, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, what I think. After all the shows, I used to do 2 hours, you know, a couple times in the past, you know, when I first started with Red River, we did some 2 hour shows. But, you know, basically, you know, I have a lot of the same guests on again, so because they can talk about different things. And I think that it's a good way for people to, you know, meet authors, other authors, you know, and, you know, now, like I've met you now, so I'll be looking at your thing. That's how it is, you know, and that's what I think people don't understand is that this is the good part of it when people meet each other, you know, and then they, I mean, like I didn't even know when Virginia and I did a show. I did Red River Radio, and I started, and then I needed somebody. At that time, we needed people to actually help with the chat room, that's how I interviewed Virginia, and Virginia did that for us, and then we got to be partners of World of Ink after a year of that. So, I mean, and we didn't know each other. So I think that people don't realize that you do develop some very good friendships like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's true.
Absolutely.
And that's how we all help each other. That's what I think. It's a good thing, you know. So, I mean, that's for writers, this is a great tool to meet new people and talk to them. And, like, some people have been on my show, which I think, Israel, you know, too, that people have never talked to each other ever on the phone or anything. And this is the first time they ever get to talk to each other. You know, because I did in the past call people, you know, which probably I should have done with Catherine and Jennifer. I would have realized that you're one person. That would have helped. That would have definitely helped. But I think, you know, but that is how people meet people. You know, and I think it's good for relationships, you know. It's like having, you know, reviewers, like, listening to you or talking to you and actually giving you good advice. And you learn from people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like both of you, like as we're talking about now, we learn from each other, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel good about that for people, and that's why I do the show. So, you know, if there are things that people want to talk about or want to do, just call me or email me, and you can come on a show, because I think that different topics are always, you know, welcomed. You know, but I think that is there anything anybody would like to tell anybody before we sign off today? Or
I wanted to thank you. Oh, and I have a fourth book for my second, you know, for my contemporary series. So yeah, and I wanted to thank you, Marcia, for having me again.
Oh, you know, you're always welcome, and Catherine and Jennifer both are welcome to come on the show. You know, and that was really nice meeting you, because, you know, I didn't know who you were, and that's why when I look up people and then you get to find out what they do, and you do quite a bit. I mean, you do, and Isabel, you do a lot, you know. And I'm writing more now, you know, than I've done before, because, I mean, I always used to write all the time, but then when you do the shows, you know, I mean, you know, I do a lot of shows, but, you know, and I have to research, because I like to know what everybody does and, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I see somebody that I will say, like, oh, do you want to come on the show? Because it's interesting, you know. And that's, you know, that's why I've done these for 6 years, you know. So it is kind of fun, and it's certainly fun meeting new people, you know, and hearing about your anthology, you know, that I'm going to look this up. So you've been doing this for a while then, the anthologies.
The series. I was actually one of the original quote-unquote owners of the club, so I actually have been kind of guiding people through it with the help of Scarlett Dawn. So we've been kind of guiding the whole thing along, and we have another, like I said, we have about another year left of authors to go, and then that'll be complete. So, and the stories all take place in the same club in a little town called Karen, Texas, and the characters come and go throughout the story. There's a couple of main characters who show up, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I like that, too, because, you know, I write with a lot of characters. I did from my screenplays. I do. I find it very difficult to write with just two characters. I do a lot of characters. I would like to sometimes, maybe, but I can't. I just, my personality doesn't let me, because I'm always adding characters, you know, in.
Yeah.
Because I just think that's how life is, you know. So that's why I like that. You know, it's so much fun to do that, because it's like a lot of, you know, because everybody doesn't sound the same way or do the same things, you know. But when you have a lot of characters and you introduce them, and you're right, the secondary characters, sometimes those are the best ones.
Yeah.
They can do whatever.
Isabel, aren't you also in the Hotel Paranormal?
Pardon?
Aren't you also
in the Hotel Paranormal?
I'm in Hotel Paranormal as well. So yes, that's where book 6.5 is going.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I try to keep up with people's schedules, but I can barely keep up with my own, because
I know that. That's the thing, right? I do know that, because I try to do that, you know, what people are doing, you know, and that's why when they come on, you know, I actually take notes a lot of times, and then that's when I'm looking up things and I realize what's, but there are a lot of anthologies out there now, a lot. So people must love them, you know. But, you know, I'm new to the market as far as short stories and series, you know. I mean, but I like it because I used to just finish my characters and move on, you know. But now they're in my head. So, and, you know, don't you do that? Do you have, a notebook or something and you go, you know, like when you think of something? Because once you think of it, if you don't write it down, for me, then it's gone. And you don't get it back, the same thought.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes my problem is if I don't write it down, it possesses me.
Yeah. Okay. That's a paranormal. That's fun.
Yeah,
you can ask me something, Isabel.
I have to go.
Okay. All right. We're going to end the show anyway. Okay. All right. So thank you both for being on, and please come
thank
on again.
You.
And and good luck on the anthologies. And if I can do anything to help to come on, just let me know, because the links, you are good forever. The link is good to use at any time and on the show and on your Facebook, wherever you want to put it is fine.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, so thank you again.
Thank you. Goodbye
to everybody. And I will be
on
Thursday with Randall Dark, and we will be talking about screenwriting. Thank you. Have a great night.
Great.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. It's bedtime for you. Goodbye.
Bye.